Good morning.
Big Jewish word that somehow Jews have monopolized, juxtapose. We're always talking about the juxtapositions of the various parshios in the Torah and how critical they are. So we have a juxtaposition of last week's parsha, that of the story of Amalek, that Amalek wants to kill us and destroy us and cool us off. And that's, you know, even if you don't read Parsha Zohar, you could be also with last week's reading. And this week we begin with a mitzvah, one of the final mitzvahs of the Torah, that of Bikurim, that one has to bring Bikurim. And people are scratching their heads as to what's the connection between last week's Parsha of Amalek and this week's Parsha of Bikurim. So the simple explanation that is given is the following. This is an explanation that was given by the Ber Heitev, quoted by the Shemen HaTov. Shemen HaTov is one of the wonderful farim that I was zochet to merit from Rav David Lipschitz, who explained like this. One of the mitzvos that one is commanded to do, there are three mitzvos that one is commanded to do after they enter into Eretz Yisrael, is that of Mechias Amalek, is that of the destruction of Amalek. And therefore, Amalek tried to prevent us from entering into Eretz Yisrael, because if we didn't enter into Eretz Yisrael, there would be no mitzvah of destruction of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, they wanted to prevent us from coming in. And this, right? So what's the mitzvah that we talk about directly after destroying Amalek? Is that of the mitzvah of Kisavo El Ha'aretz. When you enter in the land, there's a chiyuv of Bikurim, which only begins after we enter into Eretz Yisrael. So that's, on a simple level, what the connection is between the two. But perhaps the Shemen HaTov explains a very beautiful mahalach and a very beautiful approach, which is something that we could take with us as we begin, as we're about to begin the new year. He says that a person, he says the yesod of Bikurim is the following, right? Is that in the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the power to do certain things. Okay? But we have to recognize in the beginning, obviously, that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and primarily, in the beginning, that's critical. Okay? Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, at the very end of his life, establishes the mitzvah of Bikurim. Mitzvah of Bikurim, one of the last mitzvahs, Moshe's, you know, in his last month of his life, he recognizes how critical the beginning is of Bikurim. Furthermore, Ezra, who is on some levels the equivalent of Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu led the first exodus into the first Geula, and Ezra had the ability to lead the second Geula. The only reason why the second Geula wasn't the same as the first Geula was for technical reasons that people didn't come, but Ezra had that power. So Moshe Rabbeinu establishes that Bikurim, the mitzvah of Bikurim, at the end of his life. Ezra establishes all the parshios that we're going to read throughout the year, and he places this parsha of Kisava, which talks about the Bikurim, at the very end of the parashas. It says in Pasuk, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, that's Bir Rishona, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa, Zu Bir Sheni, Al Yedei Ezra. Moshe began the process, and Ezra was the conclusion, who Messiah the Takanas of the parashas. So what is it so important that at the end of Moshe's life, he recognized that Bikurim had to be in the beginning? Why is it that Ezra, at the end of the parashas, recognized that at the end of the parashas, we should hear all about Bikurim? So the Shemen HaTov explains in I think what is a beautiful, beautiful way. It says like this. At the end, that's when you recognize how critical the beginning is. Moshe's summarizing his life. He's doing a cheshben nefesh, kiviyachol. And now at that moment he's saying, whoa, look how important the beginning is. Ezra recognizes at the end how important the beginning is. You have to hear about the beginning as you prepare for the beginning. Similarly, Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, recognized we weren't going to have Bikurim forever. So, what did he make a takana corresponding to Bikurim? What did he make a takana corresponding to Bikurim? He corresponded that we could say certain tfilos. Zach, he corresponded that we could say certain tfilos. For example, here's the Medrash, a very interesting Medrash. Says the following. Says there were gimel tfilos, shachris, that when Moshe saw that Bikurim were going to be nullified, amid v'tikin lahem gimel tfilos. He established gimel tfilos, shachris, mincha, marv. Why? It's the same yisod. Shachris, in the beginning of the morning, you got to get up and you got to start in a fresh way. Mincha, in the afternoon, when the day starts turning, you got to start on a serious notion, on a serious way. Maariv, b'shach b'cha uvekumecha. When you're going to sleep, it's got to, when the night begins, that's the time when one has to change his overall focus. They recognize that the beginning of each zman, just like Bikurim, which is the beginning of a new zman of the agricultural cycle, that there you have to stop and pay attention to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that particular moment. So too in our tefillos, each and every cycle of each and every day, we have to stop, pause, and reflect. That's why Moshe was nitkin tefillos corresponding to Bikurim. So what was the goal of Amalek? Amalek understood this as well. Amalek understood the idea of the beginning. What did Amalek want to do? They wanted to take the fire that Klal Yisrael had in the very beginning, the proverbial fire, the fire that we were on fire. We were on fire because we just had Yetzias Mitzrayim. We just came through and we're getting ready for Kabbalah Zatorah. And Amalek says, whoa, this beginning is too hot. Asher karcha baderach. At that moment, Amalek wants to cool us off and say, listen, chill. Like at the lakes. You know, when you're getting into things, you know what the way to get something, stop the momentum, make a couple of jokes. Amalek is the ultimate lates. When they realize that we were on fire in the beginning, Amalek wants to put that fire out. And Amalek, Asher karcha baderach, right in the beginning of the onset of Klal Yisrael, they want to put it out. That's the avodah of Amalek. That's why Amalek is called the Racious Goyim Amalek. It's the beginning of all the nations, Amalek. Because they say we're the beginning, because that corresponds to the Kedusha, which is in the beginning. And they want to put out that fire of a Yid at the beginning of the service. And therefore, what's the antidote to an Amalek? What's the remedy for a nation like Amalek who wants to put out the fire in the very beginning? A notion like Bikurim. A notion like Bikurim, whereas at the beginning we're going to say, no! Amalek, you're off. We're going to start with an alacrity. We're going to start with an excitement. We're going to start with a zeal, with a fervor. We're going to start with unbelievable excitement and Bikurim. And we're going to recognize that at this very moment when we have our first fruits, no, it's for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So last week we end with Amalek because Amalek wants to put the fire out in the very beginning. And we're going to continue with Bikurim and say, Amalek, you want to put that fire out? Moshe Rabbeinu remembers that story at the very end. We're going to put that fire in, so to speak. We're going to be alive with that fire. Ezra was misaking at the very end of the year and saying, you're about to start. Rosh Hashanah is coming up. You got to remember the Bikurim because the way you start the year is critical. Don't be like last week's parasha, which is Amalek, where they wanted to put you out in the beginning, but you got to be strong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sensitive to this. In both the parasha of Bikurim and the parasha of creation, there is no samach. Okay, again, I'm not a big Baal Gematria, but the word Samach doesn't appear. Where is the first time it appears in creation? Only after Chava is created, where it says Vayizgar Basar Tachtena, right? There, with the creation of Chava, do we have the Samach? So with the creation of Chava, you have the creation of the Yetzer Hara. Again, a lot of jokes are made on this, but we're not going to make it. In Bikurim as well, there's no Samach. The only time we see an allusion to the Samach is the word Tena. The word tenna, which is the basket, you put the Bikurim in, the gematria is, tes nun aleph, is also 60, which is the same thing as samach. So we see an allusion to it. Why is it that the first place in the Torah is by the creation of Chava? Because in creation, which is the beginning, you can't have Yitzhar, that's when you got to be on fire. When, though, does the fire start to put out? Who puts out the fire? When you go to sleep. What was the way Chava was created? When Adam was put into a sound tardema. A sound sleep. So there HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts the Yetzirah. But the way we combat the Yetzirah is by awakening ourselves at that particular moment, by recognizing that in the beginning we got to be strong. This is why we read the parasha right now, right before Rosh Hashanah. What's Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is a time where we could be sleeping. At the end of a year we could be sleeping. But the way we start a new year is with a shofar, with a blast. Wake up, Uri Yishanim, wake up the people who are sleeping. Wake up from your slumber. The reason is the sod, the remez, that we blow the shofar in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah is so that we wake up from our slumber. The slumber we're put to sleep. That's the work of the Yetzer Hara. You know, kids tell me sometimes, I ask them what they do Shabbos. Oh, I slept a lot. I'm like, you sleep in another world? What do you got to sleep so much here for? Right? You don't. If you want to sleep so barely, there are other places in another world. We'll get there. We want to be alive. We sleep in order to be alive. This is the notion of what Rosh Hashanah is about. We blow the shofar to wake up. Amalek wants to put us to sleep. Amalek says, take the fire, share karka, but Derek will put it out. We bring Bikurim. Remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's in control at the very beginning. We blow the shofar in the very beginning, but it's a time we have to wake up from our slumber. And the ultimate brach is the following. We say in Kedusha, for the Sfaradim say in Kedusha, they quote a pasuk. Actually, before that, before the Sfaradim, there's a pasuk that we read that the Einav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Roaz, Meireshis Hashana Ad Achris Shana. From the beginning of the year till end of year. So the Satmar Rebbe asks, I don't understand. It should say either what? Meireshis Hashana Ad Achris Hashana. Or Meireshis Shana Ad Achris Shana. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Why is it beginning of a year to the end of a year? Why does it say the beginning of the year till the end of a year? Says the Satmar Rebbe. Because in the beginning we always say, this is going to be a great year. We come out on fire. But sometimes that fire wanes, and it's just another year. The goal is to be Mereshis Hashanah Ad Achris Hashanah. It's to say that we start with a fresh beginning. We hear the shofar. We're all pumped up. We bring the Bikurim. We're all pumped up in the beginning. And that's going to lead us, Amir Tzashem, to the very end. And if we do that, if we have a year filled with the excitement that we start in the beginning, without an Amalek, without the Yetzirah coming to us, we'll be Zochah to the following, as we say in Kedusha. Heinga Alti Eschem, when? Achris Kereshis. When the end is like the beginning, is when the Gaal Geula is going to happen. Because everybody, we get off to that good start. We hear the shofar blow on shofar. We bring the Bikurim in the beginning. But sometimes the momentum wanes because the Amalek comes and they say, take a nap. The bracha this year is that the Reishis Hashanah, that we should say the Achris Shana. But rather we should say, Mereishis Hashanah, what? Ad Achris Hashanah. And if we do that, we'll be Zocha to the Geula, which is what we're all dreaming for. Because Amir Tzashem, next year, the Rosh Hashanah should be, or Mishnah even this year, the Rosh Hashanah should be in Eretz Yisrael with the true Geula B'Mehar V'Yameinu. Have a good Shabbos.